All right, this morning, again, welcome to worship. And so what I'd like to start out with again this morning is just a quick prayer. We're going to pray over our word and pray over our message this morning as we read out of Philippians 2 this morning, and we read what our Apostle Paul wrote us this morning. I would like to pray over that as we share in this gospel. This is hugely important, and so I want you to make sure that you try to retain every word. If not, go home and study this passage because it speaks volumes to us as Christians. So without further ado, let's go in prayer. Gracious and merciful God, as we lift you up this morning in worship and we share in your word and we share in your joy and your goodness, be with this message this morning. Share it to the spirits gathered here. Lift us up in your word as we share in your gospel, according to the Apostle Paul, found in Philippians 2. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be present in this house of God, in this place of worship, among our friends and those who we love. Lord, be with us as we bring this word into our spirit and share it with the world as we depart for yet another week. We ask all these blessings now in our living Savior's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So friends, what I'll tell you is this message is all about attitude. And so with that, in Philippians 2, if you're following along with me, I'm in the New Living Translation, you will see that in some text, depending on what scripture, what Bible, what translation you're in, this text talks about having the attitude of Jesus Christ, for you and I to possess that same attitude that he has. So hear these words from the Apostle Paul. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in his spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing with me wholeheartedly with each other now, loving one another and working together with one mind and one purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others as well. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus himself has. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a servant and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Therefore, God elevated him to a place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, to the glory of God the Father. Paul goes on to declare, "Dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you, says the Lord. And now that I am away, it's even more important that you work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. Do everything without complaining and arguing, so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Hold firmly to the word of life. Then on the day of Christ's return, I will be proud that I did not run the race in vain and that my work was not useless. But I will rejoice even if I lose my life, pouring it out like a liquid offering to God. Just like your faithful service is an offering to God, and I want all of you to share that joy. Yes, you should rejoice today, and I will share your joy. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Those are tall marching orders, aren't they? Live with the attitude of Christ Jesus. Well, how you doing? Anybody? Got a couple of teachers in here, several. What's your grade this morning? A plus? C? A strong D? Somebody help me out here. Not so good, right? Those are tall orders. Make no mistake. Life is all about attitude. And this is a hard passage, but a just one. And one that we must understand and be clear about. Last week I closed with a message that said, let the world have their incomplete, and you keep your dreams and promises in Christ Jesus. This week points to yet another, even stronger message that I want to leave you with as we serve God with a godlike, Christ-like attitude. If you haven't looked on your calendar, you're already in February. And before you blink two or three times, we'll be in March together. If you haven't already known, and I'm sure you do, but Lent's just right around the corner, and it won't be long until we'll be celebrating Easter. I'm not so sure about the rest of you, but I just finally got over Christmas. And here we are. Another yet busy season for the church and for us as followers of Christ Jesus. I would repeat to you that Scripture in Philippians 2, 3 through 8 basically says these words. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but the interest of those around you. You must have the same attitude, Scripture says, as Christ did. You see, He was God, and He Himself didn't equally take Himself as God. He humbly gave Himself up as a human being, and in service to God the Father, He became human to save you and me. He is the example. But verse 5 this morning is the focus of today's message. It says, you must have the same attitude as Christ Jesus had. So I tried to look at that another way, look at maybe another translation, maybe another way it's written or verse. I found this in the Amplified Bible. It translates the verse like this. Let this same attitude and purpose and humbleness be mindful of you, which is Christ Jesus. Christ is in us. Let Him be your example of humility. What a life we would live, and what an influence on each other and others who do not know us if we learn to live with a Christ-like attitude. Let me share with you what that looks like. If we had a Christ-like attitude this very moment, and I'm not saying that we don't, but if we had one this very moment here in service this morning, our feet would transport us just like Christ's feet move Him. Our hands would be His hands, His tools, our tools to share with the world. Our eyes could see what He sees. And the reason I brought this up is I want to dissect this part a little bit. It might be easy to walk like Christ. It might be easy to help like Christ. Put your hands on something. Make it move. Change it. Make it better. But how about seeing people as He sees them. Think about that for a second. Seeing the world like Jesus sees it. You see, Jesus sees the bad and He sees the good. And He can delineate between the two. But what about us? What about us? What happens to us when bad consumes us? The kids kind of talked about it a little earlier. What happens to us? We get involved, don't we? We sink with it a little bit. But if we have a Christ-like attitude, we're going to see the good and the bad. We're not only going to carry out the good, we are going to try to change the bad. We are going to be influential in changing the world just like Jesus was. And then the last thing I wrote down was, let our heart feel the same compassion as Jesus feels. How often do we do that, friends? How often do we have an attitude like Christ where we have the same compassion as He does? Sometimes we fail at that, don't we? So not only can we walk like Him if we have His attitude, not only can we move mountains with His hands if we have the same attitude, we can see the world as He sees it, and we can feel and be compassionate through our heart as He feels it. This is a huge challenge, but also it's a promise in Scripture that it can happen. We do not live on islands unto ourselves. I know we'd like to, but as Christians, we most certainly do not live unto ourselves. We are part of a whole. We are members of Christ's body. And so, with that, we are a part of a loving and caring community. When others hurt, we hurt. When we hurt, they hurt. That's how that works. As followers of Christ, we have a responsibility to live out our faith, but not just provide our faith lip service. We have to live it out. We have to care like Christ. We have to love like Christ. We have to walk like Christ. We have to touch like Christ. And we have to be compassionate like Christ. This is the attitude that I want to share with you this morning. I do not want you to live another day in 2024 without putting Christ first. We are never going to be able to share in this goodness without putting Christ first. We are not on an island to our own. We are not. It's not. Scripture doesn't say we serve ourselves while we are glorified in God. It says that we serve the Lord in that glory. It declares it in this passage this morning. As we connect with others, we develop mutual accountability, relationships that help the entire body of Christ. That's our service to God. In Philippians, which is written by the Apostle Paul, Paul gives a passage that lays out Jesus as the ideal model. Now, this is a big step. Christ is our model. Well, those are shoes that we probably do not feel like we can fill. But Scripture says you can. And you shall. And you should. Even though you feel a small shortcoming, Scripture says you're to fill them. Again, Christ is our example according to Paul's passage. But here's the example. Jesus chose to be just like me and you. He chose to humble Himself and come in human form, to be a servant of God. If Jesus can do that, there is absolutely no reason that you and I can't do that. And that's what Paul is trying to say when he says, here is the example. Jesus could have come in all of His glorified manner, but He didn't. He came in a servant's position. He came so that you and I could touch Him. You and I could feel His compassion. You and I could tread with Him, walk with Him, and you and I could share in His glory and move mountains like He did. be present during those times of glory and those times of trouble. Christ Himself is the example. As followers of Jesus Christ, we are humbled in His service. It mentions it multiple times in this passage this morning. Humility is part of our responsibility. This hasn't got anything to do with me and you and how glorified it makes us look. Our service this morning, our reason for being here in worship is to love God and be humbled by Him and serve Him with humility and give Him all the glory. If we take an ounce of that glory, if we try to elevate ourselves one half of a step, that's the wrong attitude. The right attitude is we serve Christ first. Then through His grace, you and I will be served abundantly. That's what people get wrong. That's what those who question our faith get wrong about serving God. If we put Christ first, if He is our example and we do things as He done them, then we are blessed abundantly simply because we do it in His name and in His glory. And that's the attitude we should have moving forward in 2024. Last week I told you, let the world have their incomplete. You keep your dream, you keep your promise of Christ Jesus. And this Sunday morning, I'm telling you to serve Christ first. When you walk out those doors, when you leave this beautiful worship and this beautiful place into that beautiful world that we know was created by God Himself, even in its mistakes and brokenness, if we put Christ first, we win. That's the attitude that we shall serve this community and this ministry here at Bethel with, is a Christ first approach. That's what we need. That's who we are. The passage I read to our young people clearly states, God is working in our lives, helping us to obey Him. Not obey ourselves. God's working in our lives simply for us to obey Him. And when we do, we are abundantly blessed. The cautionary statement should be, though, even though it's not in Scripture, is, do not let your attitudes block your ability to see the goodness of God, to see the glory before you, because the world will do that too. You see, you're going to get in these circles that we talked about with the young people. You're going to get in these circles, and the next thing you know, you're driving down a rabbit's trail. They're talking about A and B, and next thing you know, you're going to throw in and interject C. You're as negative as they are. That's what you got to change. That's not a Christ-first approach. A Christ-first approach is, hang on, guys, I don't know what you're talking about, but it don't sound good. Let me share some positive good news with you. That's a Christ-first approach. Using Trevor's example about looking in the mirror, brushing your teeth, you got to remember, you're chosen by God. He chose you first. He loves you first. All He's simply asking to do is to serve Him. To step out of that bathroom that day, pull your bootstraps up, tie your tennis shoes up, head out into the world and serve Him first. That's what He's asking you to do. It's quite that simple. I want to close with a little story that I found about a traveler. I want you to listen to these words. The old traveler sat down for a rest under the shade tree of a one summer day. A young boy approached and sat down next to him. Young boy said, "Where are you going?" Traveler replied, "Yeah, I'm not sure. Wherever the road leads me," he said. The boy was surprised. "How can you not know where you're going?" he asked him. Traveler smiles. "I don't know my destination, but I'm sure I will know it when I get there." "The beauty is the journey," the traveler said, "not the destination." The boy still didn't understand. He scratched his head in confusion. "But how will you know you arrived if you don't know where you're going?" the boy asked him. The traveler replied to the young man, "When I arrive, there will be peace and contentment in my heart. I will know I'm there." The journey is what shapes us and makes us grow, the traveler told the young man. The boy considered this. He had always focused on goals and destinations, but never appreciated the journey or the trek that got him there. He realized there was wisdom in those traveler's words. He said, "I think I understand, sir. It's not about where I'm going, but how I choose to see and view the journey that got me here." The traveler nodded in agreement. "You're learning," he said. "Our perspective shapes our reality. How we see things shapes our reality. Our attitude about how we approach things shapes our reality. Choose to see each moment as an opportunity to learn and grow," he told the boy. "Appreciate all the simple beauties around you. Find peace in the journey. The destination shall come." The boy smiled, thanked the traveler, and continued down the road with a new sense of meaning and purpose in his life. He realized the journey ahead had held endless possibilities if only he chose to see them. What do we learn from this young man's teaching under a shade tree by a weary traveler setting down to rest? What do we learn as Christians from this morning? What do we learn from this Christ-like attitude passage in Scripture? Well, the first thing I want to ask you this morning is, I ask you to grade yourself in the beginning. I never got an answer on A+. I didn't get much on B or C. Now, I got a heavy D. But I want to ask you this morning, what did you choose to see as a follower of Christ Jesus this morning when you got up? What did you choose to say to your loved one or family member or your spouse this morning when the Lord gave you the opportunity to see another day? What did you choose? What attitude did you wake up with this morning? What perspective did you have on the world being blessed as a Christian following Christ Jesus, who loves you and who has chosen you specifically for your duty? You see, our destination has been set, friends. We know where we're going. Heaven's where we're headed. We know that. I don't know about you, but I can't think of a loftier goal than eternity. So why are we worried about that? We know where we're going. We've been promised that. It doesn't get any better than heaven. It doesn't get any better than eternity. What I want you to focus on from this moment forward in this new year is the journey. That's where you're going to make a difference in people's lives. That's where you're going to make a difference in your life, is the journey that you travel, the road that you take. Whatever life befalls you, those are where, those moments in time, those are the things that is important to what positive attitude or attitudes you may have. We will not see the journey with a poorly shaped attitude in our life. We will miss it. And Scripture says, Paul declares, hey, let's change that attitude. Let's see God the way He sees us. Let's see the world the way God sees it. It is the journey that brings us closer to Jesus. It's our journey that brings us closer to each other as friends and family and faith. That requires a great attitude in Christ. That requires a Christ-like attitude. That requires a first approach out of the gate, up in the morning, eyes open before your feet hit the floor. Be blessed because you're a Christian. Be blessed because you're loved by Christ. And that very moment, in that very second, determine whether you're putting Christ first or yourself. Because if you're going to put yourself first, don't peel back the sheets. The day won't be worth it. It's a Christ first approach. that changes the world, that changes our lives, and brings us peace and joy and eternity. Amen.